is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, 5-Hour Energy, and GarbageDay.com/Humble and Fred. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Twitter handle is Humble Fred Radio. And now from the delayed headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Right on. Beautiful. Let's proceed. Who is our guest today, Howard? It's an old friend of the show. Okay, that's Peter Gross. Peter Gross, an old friend of the show, will be along to talk about not only his podcast about horse racing, but suffering a stroke this summer. And, you know, old guys like to talk about other guys' strokes, right? Just so we can be tuned into what to look for. Right. So Peter Gross, I think his mother is 147 or something, and he claims that he's going to live forever. But yeah, this summer, you know, that plan a little interrupted by a stroke. I think she's in her 90s. Yeah. But yeah. Very, in her 90s and doing well. But, you know, Peter, he lived a hard life. I'm sure he lived his life a little harder than his mother's, probably. As far as his body and what he did to it.
No, it's no secret that he did a lot of the devil's dandruff. You know. Mm-hmm. Dan, did you ever do the devil's dandruff?
Dan who?
Dan Duran's there. Yeah, he's not going to talk about that because he's he's a public figure. Anyway.
It was a long time ago.
Dan Duran didn't lead. Dan, look at you. Dan Duran's microphone sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So you're have you figured it out now? Is everything recording? And
This could just be the four of us.
Are all the buttons pushed properly down there? The channel assigns.
Oh yeah,
yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Yeah, the distortion button is definitely pressed as well. Listen, fellas, I had quite a quite a bunch of stuff to run by you. How is everybody? I haven't seen you for a few days. Fred, you still haven't cut your hair. You're becoming iconic looking. I like it.
That's right. Whatever that means. Okay. What do you mean iconic looking?
Well, it's
looking?
Like now you've What's got this mean? Patterson look going. You know, it's like, oh okay. Man.
Well, even Patterson. Dan Duran said to me the other day, your hair looks good long. And I thought, oh, thank you very much, Dan. And my son-in-law arrived here on Saturday and said, hey, Freddie, your hair's looking good, man. So maybe this is the new me.
This is the Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
It took a worldwide pandemic for people to like your look.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Hey, Fred, you know, the world's on fire, but as we're going out, you're looking good, son. That's right. Before we all get eviscerated.
Anyway.
And Dan looks nice as always, because Dad always looks good.
First thing in the morning is when you start your day.
It's hard to get a handle on Phil, because he's so much in the dark, I can't really see him. There he is. Look at his
I got basement hair.
I'm sorry?
That's what I've got. I've got basement hair.
Yeah.
Here's
today, Phil, could you just humor me and get as close to the microphone as possible, because I'm really having a tough time hearing you.
I don't have no idea why my mic shouldn't be working, though. That's the thing.
All right. All right.
So you were going to run several things by us.
Well, it's almost time for Dan Duran weather.
No, that is true.
It's getting very close.
It's a very busy day. There's a lot going on between COVID and the Orange Idiot and other things as well. Sports, the Jays and the Rays, tomorrow night, playoff baseball. Yeah.
Yeah, I've written a bunch of questions for you. Mm-hmm. So the NHL, is the NHL in the Stanley Cup Finals now?
Yes. In fact, Tampa Bay could have won the Cup on Saturday night, blew a late lead. So game six is tonight.
Right.
Of the Stanley Cup Finals. So Tampa can win tonight or Dallas can force a seventh game.
The reason I wanted to ask about that, and I knew that it was getting close and down to the wire. I wanted to ask because when we first started talking about the NHL coming back and bubbling in Edmonton and here in Toronto, you made me, or maybe I got this wrong, but I was to understand that the season was going to end later and the new season wasn't going to start until the new year. But now here we are very close to the end of this season.
Mm-hmm.
Will be done by the end of September. So what is the start date for 2021 or whatever?
Well, they haven't nailed it down, but it looks like the season will begin with a Winter Classic game, which would be Jan 1. So they'll probably take 3 months off. But
why?
Why not?
Well,
because the guys need an off season. Remember, they had almost a full season. They were off for, you know, a couple of months.
Right.
And not only that, but they want those 3 months to see what the landscape is like. Because if they came right back at it, it's empty buildings, it's bubbling.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they give it 3 months, who knows? By January 1st, some of this stuff might be relaxed. It doesn't look like it, but it might be relaxed enough that they can, you know, proceed business as usual.
Well, that's what.
I think they want that time to see where we're going with this.
But it's really I would say it would be less about giving the players, you know, a little extra time because most of the teams have now had even more time off.
Yeah, but you've got to consider the two that didn't.
No,
you can't make them come right back. That's not fair. They need time off.
But I'm just wondering why not December 1st?
They'd be at a disadvantage.
January 1st, Dan Duran?
Well, so if it starts in January, then when would it end?
Never. Never ends.
you know, summer hockey from here on in. Is what it is.
I've explained this. They start in January. They'll probably end in August. And then the next year, they'll probably start beginning of December, late November, and end in July. It's going to take 3 years to get back on track if they want to play an 82-game schedule.
I'm very sorry that you had to explain that again.
No,
that's
fine, too.
No, it's fine. It's gripping and compelling.
Yeah. I don't think anything is as compelling and gripping as the first 5 minutes the people on the radio heard, where we didn't know we were on.
And you were swearing.
Was I?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know, Dan.
Well, I know you didn't know. It was just unusual coming out of the app. When I got it on, I was like, what's going on there? Did they release?
The best show we've ever done.
Dan, who swore? Did I swear or just Howard?
I heard Howard swear.
Yeah. Howard swore.
I think I was in broadcast mode.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's so
that
much
swish in the brain. Yeah.
You know what? There's so much Trump stuff. I don't even know what to do with it. We have so much Trump and Trump related stuff. It's a bit overwhelming. So let's look. We've got our friend Peter Gross from 8 to about 8:30. Then we've got the Trump tax stuff. That'll take up a good portion of the last half hour.
But that's all fake news. Do you even want to talk about it? It's all fake news.
Well, we're fake news.
Yeah.
But did you read that whole article? It was really long. Like, there was a lot of stuff in it. I got drowsy halfway through. I had to come back.
Now the rubber's hit the road because the only option he has is to reveal his taxes. Because if he doesn't, he looks like a scumbag that he is. And if he does, and he's telling the truth, it is fake news, then he looks great. So he's got to show him. Seriously. Because he's saying fake news, and it's all, you know, again, it's another conspiracy to beat up on him.
Mm-hmm.
So if he reveals his taxes and that's the truth, he's up in the up, and that New York Times article was wrong, he's going to look great. He'll cruise to victory. Yes, show us your taxes, buddy.
I think you're doing a bit.
No. But isn't that the situation?
No, absolutely.
The only way out of this now is to show his taxes.
Yeah, I know. But let's. We can have a discussion, even though it's fake news. We should have a discussion. Without the problem with it is once you start pulling at it. Like, I spent a lot of time with that article yesterday. There's a lot of numbers to be thrown around, but there's a couple takeaways from it that I think we should, you know, we can lean on that are pretty compelling. Also, some Trump universe stuff. There was a great thing that you'd sent me, but I'd seen it too, Freddie, the Tucker Carlson lawsuit. Like, how do you feel?
That was so funny.
If you're Tucker Carlson and basically legally said that you're a freaking idiot and no one should pay attention to what you're saying.
Yeah. And the argument in court was he should not be sued because any reasonable person needs to know that what he says isn't the truth.
Yeah.
It's basically the law.
It's not to be taken seriously.
Not to be taken seriously. And that's what I love about Fox. Hey, they know what they've put together there. You know, it's a comedy network at night. Oh. It is. And the thing is, they don't even mind that argument because they know anybody with a brain knows the deal on Fox News, but they know they're minions. That they don't care. They'll still love their Tucker.
No, I know.
Doesn't matter. No matter what Tucker says, it's the truth, and they don't care about a court case. But that's way beyond their brain capacity.
Oh, wait, and by the way, so is this thing with the taxes. Like, I've read some of the comments. Most people are. It's just too much. I'll tell you what, though, we're gonna take a break now. See if we can't get back. Excuse me, back on track here with the radio people. And then what we'll do, podcast people, is you're going to hear Dan Duran in about, I don't know, 35 seconds, because we're just going to splice it together. Phil does that now. Great job, Phil. So Dan Duran's weather will be coming up shortly. Dan Duran, are you? Will you be prepared for that, even though the show has had a rocky start?
Oh, I'm prepared, yes. This is the last great day today. Yeah. So I'm...
Well, that's great.
There's... Coming up, bad weather, okay?
Coming up in a second, Dan Duran predicts this is the last great day of all time.
Well, I'll tell you, we've been in a technical slump, and we better move on from this slump because, you know, for months it was not an issue, and now all of a sudden, several shows in the past couple of weeks has had reference to problems. We must move on from this.
All right.
As of today, and I mean it.
Oh, yeah, do you?
Your pep talk?
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? Because I've really been leaning into all the problems. I've just enjoyed them so much. And with that, we'll take a quick break here. All right. And Dan says this is the last best day on earth. Don't go away. It's Humble and Fred Radio. And now welcome back to radio's most dreamy comedy program. You know, there's some music. You know, one of the things I had put together this morning, Fred, thinking we would have some fun, although it can wait till tomorrow now that we're a little bit disorganized, is I put together a bunch of those emails, including that one guy who really thinks we suck, which... honestly, is some of the best feedback we've had in a long time. Like, passionate feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah, after today, you may want to wait a day for you to get a little bit more.
That's right, Dad. There might be... we are just scratching the surface of people that think we suck. That's awesome.
I responded to that guy, did I not?
No.
Include you in that?
No, you didn't. That's fine. No, you included me with that other guy last week that really hates us.
Mm-hmm. No, we won him over. He's going to be on the show.
We've won him over, but this new guy, he's...
I don't want to win him over.
No, he's scary.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I'm Howard. Here's Fred. Dan Duran standing by with his weather. Is there any way we could just sneak in some Gig Sky love for people?
Yes, you know, listen, you know,
Not a lot of people want to, but you can travel several places around the world. You can fly into the United States, no problem. And if you're planning to travel abroad or even having a staycation, even though, you know, the summer's over and, you know, a lot of people want to catch up on their time off, I guess, GigSky can provide you with the data you need to augment your service at home and abroad. For current GigSky customers and Humble and Fred listeners, use the promo code HF2020 at checkout for $5 off your purchase of a data plan. For new customers, use the code GKY123 when creating your account for $5 off your purchase. GigSky can solve all your data needs on your eSIM enabled devices, whether it's Apple, Microsoft, or Google. And if you don't have those, you can use the GigSky hotspot to purchase one of those. GigSky.com. Up to 32 devices can log on.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
That's very cool. Dan Duran, you know, my brother David, who we lived in the same fourplex, next door to for a time in Calgary, you and I.
Yes.
And my brother Edmonton Steve, whom I saw on Friday night, is in town doing some grown-up television work.
Wow.
And all we were supposed to play on Wednesday and Thursday, various brothers getting together for the Glass Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And even though last week was enjoyable with the weather, part of me felt a tinge of sadness that that weather could not have lasted one more week for the Western Canadians. But it's not going to be horrible, is it?
Well, it depends. It's going to be chilly. Because there's going to be a little bit of rain. So what days are you planning on? Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday?
Yes. Yeah. In Milton. Yeah. In the Milton area.
Well, you're kind of looking at 16 and 14 degrees with a 40% chance of showers at this point. There's a front coming through that's probably coming through later today. Kind of first thing tomorrow, so midday kind of tomorrow. It depends on how fast that system runs. So what's happening? Are we doing the weather now?
Yes, you're right in the middle.
Okay, right. Yeah. So what's happening is that there's a trough of cold air coming down from the north, and there's probably some people going to get some snow further in the further north of Ontario, the farthest reaches north.
That's their problem.
With this coming through. That's their problem. We're probably going to get some rain with temperatures like 16 and 14 overnight lows. Not that bad, but 17, 18 is the seasonal average, so just below the average. But with, you know, the rain coming in and dark skies, it's going to be feeling, you know, it might not be the best golfing weather. Let's put it that way. But, you know,
look at it. Wednesday says 18 and just a chance of a shower. Thursday, 17 chance of a shower.
Right.
Is that not good for you?
That's again, different models are saying different things.
Are they? What's your model saying? No good.
Well, I've got there's a model that says 17 and 16. You've got your Environment Canada going with 17 and 15 and 40% chance of showers. So there's you know, a disagreement, as all, you know, all models will have a little bit because they're forecast models, right?
So Dan's model is saying, Dan, you're hugging the bed.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, what is Dan Duran's model look like?
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Dan. I can't even. I was going to say something, but you know what? Every conversation with Dan Duran has to go there.
So the next. Things. So enjoy today, because today we will get 25 degrees, feeling like 30 with a Humidex. And then tomorrow the temperature drops and we probably won't see temperatures above 20 for the next couple of weeks at least, which puts us into October, of course. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for next weekend looking. You know, like in Toronto, maybe 13, 14 degrees on Saturday and Sunday for the high.
Yeah, I'm going to be in London, Ontario this weekend for a golf tournament.
In London?
Yeah, man. Well, St. Thomas, which is just outside of London near Port Stanley. And it's going to be cool. I saw the temperatures weekend morning coming up are like 5, feels like 6. When it's that cold, why do they even bother?
When I have someone
Yeah, you have something in your sheath. Yeah.
So in London on Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be 12 and 11.
No, I know. But the early morning part was like 5 or 6 feels like 5.
Yeah, well, the overnight low the night before is going down to 4. And usually the overnight low kind of hits around 4 or 5 in the morning in that area.
That's great. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I hope a lot of the listeners have stuff planned for Wednesday and Thursday and next Saturday because they've got a complete,
complete look of the week.
Of the next several days as far as Howard's golfing goes.
Well, because you're not consumed with the weather.
Not at this time of the year.
No, I know. Your weather days are behind you.
Do they have heated handles yet for clubs? Have they got heated handles yet for clubs?
No, but colder days, I wear these mittens. Speaking of golf on the weekend, another great showing by Hamilton, Burlington, grew up in that area playing golf. Mackenzie Hughes, a lot of people in the Hamilton, Burlington, St. Catharines area cheering on a young Canadian. God, it's great when Canadians do well. Don't you think? I do.
Yeah. What tournament was it?
Just another PGA Tour tournament, like one of the weekly tournaments in Punta Cana. Here's a question I was thinking about. Like, I know you're not going to go to Mexico, and a lot of people aren't traveling. You mentioned there are still travel destinations available, but those island places, are people going to do that this winter? Like, go to the Dominican, go to Punta Cana, go to Cuba. Because it's still available, is it not?
Yeah, I read a list last week of the places that apparently you can still travel and claim to be safer than others. But, it just... Would you? It all comes down to that. Sure, some people are going to, because they're going to say, I so want to travel. I so want to go to the sun. I'm going to take my chances.
Yeah.
That doesn't include me or my wife. I don't know if that would include you. I don't know what it would take to get me to a place like that this winter.
And the number one consideration is getting on an airplane, right?
Well, apparently that should be the least of your worries. From what all the reports I hear, an airplane isn't a problem.
Well, because of the air exchange, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe. Uncle Steven just got here from Edmonton. He was wearing a mask and a full-on shield, like a really good one. And I asked him about it Friday. I said, so were they social distancing on the airplane? He's like, nope. That whole thing about we're just going to use every seat.
I heard that was out the window. Yeah,
that thing is full. And what they're doing is they're waiting until, his return flight wasn't set until they'd seen how many people were going to be flying that day. And then they just put them all on the one or two flights that are going.
So you mean to tell me it's not every other seat? People are crammed in right beside each other?
Not the Edmonton-Toronto flight.
What do you mean not?
Well, I'm saying international flights may be different. What's that, Dan?
Yeah. You're saying that international flights may have a different protocol.
I don't know. Yeah. But I was talking about you, I guess maybe with Steven, because Steven's going to... Yeah, he and I were talking about it, because I said Fred has been going away for at least a month, and I thought this coming winter you'd probably do a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve is doing similar, except now instead of going to Mexico, he's going to spend 2 or 3 months in Victoria.
Yeah, like he did last year. He spent a month in Victoria.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, well, what will Fred do? I said, I think Fred would probably go, but Mrs. Fred is going to spend the winter in the tater cellar. He's going to be down in the Patterson bunker.
Listen, the problem with all the islands and Mexico in particular, you don't know. Their testing data is, you just don't know. You know, they can claim to be doing a lot of testing, but do you really know? And then they release numbers of, active cases, and you're thinking, boy, if they're not getting out into the hinterland or whatever in testing, what are the real numbers, and how might that affect me? That's what bothers. That's the problem. You just don't know. And if you want to go into that great unknown, great. A lot of people will.
Yeah.
Super.
They'll take the chances. But I mean,
but remember, know. if you get 2 weeks off and you go down to like a place like Jamaica or something, when you come home, you need another 2 weeks of self-isolation. Yeah. So 2 weeks turns into 4 weeks. Who can do that?
Well, because you have your 2 weeks of the time away, and then your 14 right. days of quarantine, that is 4 weeks. That's where you're getting your math. Is that where your numbers are coming from?
That's where I'm getting from. So you need a 1 month block. Oh, you know, if you work from home, it's fine, but not everyone does.
Well, I can tell you my friend GFR is got a very good friend getting married in Naples, Florida
mm-hmm.
in November, and she's going down for the wedding. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's great for those reasons you just described. It works for her. She works at home and she can go there for 5 or 6 days
mm-hmm.
and then come home and for 14 days just continue doing what she does from her own
yeah.
domicile.
Mm-hmm.
She said, do you want to come to Florida? And I said, I can't as a patriot go to Florida, and it's a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gone if it wasn't for. I said I would have gone if it was not for the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall we had this conversation about the Florida trip?
No,
I think on Thursday or Wednesday.
No, we did not.
Yeah,
we did.
We sliced and diced it pretty good on the show. Yeah,
going to Florida for the wedding.
Yeah, remember I told you should go, and the thing is with the United States, don't boycott it. Don't let Trump wreck your fun. Go yeah. and use the
Trump
country.
Trump has wrecked my fun.
Yeah.
But I'm not going.
Okay, well, that's great. See, we all make decisions, and you've made yours.
Would you go somewhere, Dan?
If I was getting paid to go.
I know you love your life right there on the lakeside.
Yeah, I do. I've just about got another lake place. For the winter, but you know what, I would go if I was paid, but I don't think I would go other than that. You know, like being if I was hired to do a job of some sort.
I see, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not like paid to. Hey, want to take a vacation? We'll pay you that. Not like that, but hey, I'm going to work on a production of some sort. I definitely would go.
You know what's weird at home here? Almost 500 cases yesterday and today, all casinos open. Seems weird, eh? Now, you're not going to be able to play table games for obvious reasons, but all the casinos are opening today.
So what can you play if you can't play blackjack and craps?
The machines. The machines, I guess. But you'd think there'd be COVID all over those, too.
But not only that, all the other gooey stuff that old people are seeping out.
Yeah. And you have to... And you have to make sort of a reservation to go. You just can't walk in. But again, it just seems odd to me. But there, you know, like everybody else, I guess the province, the government, they're hurting. That casino money,
yeah,
ran dry, and they want it. They need it. So, yeah. So with this surge in the province, it just seems like an odd time to be opening casinos.
Was that scheduled for this time? Day one of casino time?
I guess. And they decided to just trudge on.
Okay. Seems like that something like that should be monitored based on the number of cases in a specific area.
Oh, I see.
And you talk areas like, you know, there's one here in Peterborough that I went to last year, and it was just a creepy experience. Brand new casino, but typical thing. I walked in, a bunch of old people, you know, tied to the machines with their little cards and everything. Yeah. I found it very depressing, mm-hmm. and the food was horrid.
But other than that, how'd you enjoy it?
In Peterborough, there's...
Other than that impression, what would you give it out of 10?
But see, the thing is, even a place like Peterborough, they're all in this false sense of security because they hardly have any cases, right?
Six right now, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Six active cases.
But something like a casino like that, all of a sudden, you know, that could cause a spike in this area. You know, Steve, it must be weird from somebody coming in from Edmonton. You said he's got the shield and the mask.
Yeah.
Because, you know, out there, they don't have nearly as many cases from what I understand. But coming into a hub like Toronto must be a bit freaky, you know?
Well, I can tell you he was more cautious walking down the street than I am. Like, we were, left Rachel in the Airbnb condo that Steve was staying in, and he and I walked down the street to Queen Street in the East End to get some food. And he had his, it was just the two of us walking on the street, on the side of the street, where there were no people, and he's got his mask on, and I'm like, hey, you know, you could take it off. And he goes, oh, I like to be cautious. I go, well, what do you do when you're golfing? Do you keep a mask on? He goes, no. And I go, well, there's really no one around but me. But, hey, listen, I can't argue with somebody's level of comfort when it comes to their personal security. I get it. And then when we were right on Queen Street, where there were a lot of people, I put my mask back on as we were walking through the crowd. But I think you're right, Fred, that coming here heightens a person's, you know, sense of there might be more danger. So what's it like for people traveling to Florida? Have I mentioned that Rachel's going to a wedding in Naples? But you know what I mean? Like, and to our point about traveling to somewhere warm.
Yeah.
What's your comfort going someplace where you're way out of your comfort zone? And what's that vacation like?
I get the feeling if you went and you were on top of all the, you know, if you did all the things you should do and you were very cautious and watched your social distancing down there and all that, you'd probably be fine.
Yeah.
But it comes back to that chance. You just don't know. So why bother?
Well, I'll
if
tell
there's
you
a chance.
It's all. Go ahead.
No, would you rather have COVID at home or somewhere else?
Or
you
take know, out. Get t- hey, yeah. Can I get some of that, that takeout COVID?
Mm-hmm.
My brother's got a friend who lives in New York and has for a long time. And this happened a long time ago, so you wouldn't remember, but Steve's friend lives in a fourplex, I guess similar to where you and I used to live type of thing, building, Dan.
Yeah.
And every family in that fourplex got COVID. Every one of them. They live in Upper Manhattan or anyway. And he was telling me on Friday that his friend, 5 months later, still has some of the after effects of this. You know, like, he has good days. He feels sick still a lot of the time. Again, I bring it up because if you don't think, for all those people that think it's fake or it's like the flu or all the other things that people think that are dumb, but when you hear about it, somebody who's suffering from it in real life, it's not something you want to get, especially at our age.
No, and more, it's being revealed the long-term effects.
Yeah.
It's about more than dying. You know, that mindset still, in the States in particular, they're talking about deaths, like you either die or you're fine. Well, no, there's a huge area in between. And more, they're realizing that there's people that have got the disease that will never be never be right again.
Yeah.
And in some instances, worse than death. You know? If anything can be worse than death. But what I'm saying is people have respiratory diseases that they'll suffer with for the rest of their lives.
By the way, Dan, you don't remember this because you weren't in the office at the time, but in the summer of 2011, that was one of the names we were bandying about as a possible new name for the show. Worse than death, Humble and Fred.
Rebranding statement, yeah.
Welcome, great. Everyone. This is the Worse Than Death show. No.
That would have been great sitting around that table.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like
fantastic
that.
Fantastic ideas.
Anyway, this is nothing to screw around with. Hey, before we take a break, let's talk about Barb Paluskiewicz, Fred. At CDN Technologies. Go and call that up so that we don't get too far behind. We had a bit of a slow start again to the show before we let Dan Duran go. CDNtechnologies.com, Freddie.
Yeah, you know, great IT support, no doubt about it. If your network is running slow, if your downtime is driving you crazy, costing you money, if you're worried about getting hacked or a data breach, which a lot of companies are, CDNtechnologies.com, the people to talk to. You can give them a call, too. Talk to Barb directly. Oh, yeah, 905-542-9759. You hear Barb every couple of weeks on the show, you know, schooling us on networks, business networks, home networks, and what you have to do to stay on top of them and keep them secure. They deal in backups and recovery, IT security, IT services, and even IT support. They are at your beck and call if you have any problems with your network. CDNtechnologies.com.
All right, Dan Duran's weather forecast is brought to you by QLD Communications, Palma Pasta, and 1-800-CARS-FOR-DAN. Dan?
Yes, soon we'll have to retire that, yeah.
Have you found a car?
No, I'm working on the house part, so that's just about done. The car's next.
Have you found a nice place to live?
I believe so. Well, I'm going to be seeing you today.
I want to hear all about it.
Okay. Well, I'll be telling you about it. It'll have another bedroom so you can come visit.
Nice. Nice. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we got to take a break here because it's that time. Peter Gross, a friend of the show, longtime, brilliant essayist and sportscaster, sports handicapper, and now stroke sufferer. What does it feel like when you start to stroke out? I mean, we think we've touched on that a time or two, but we'll find out in a second for sure. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Thank you, Dan Duran. And welcome back. If you're ever wondering about some of the musical choices coming in and out of these commercial breaks, and you're like, why did he play that? Well, that's because I was scrambling to play something, and this just came up. This is a Journey song that I don't know what it is, but I have to stop it. I can't. I'm not really a big Journey fan. Okay.
Yeah, that's certainly not on the Humble and Fred playlist, believe me.
No, it was on some other playlist. I'm sorry.
It was mine.
Was that yours, Philly?
Yeah, probably. All right. Faithfully, right?
Yeah, it was Journey Faithfully, and now I'm up. No good. Mm-hmm. Our guest schedule for this morning is longtime broadcaster Peter Gross, and recently survived a stroke. And I think you mentioned this. It's very true. And I don't know, maybe it's true of when you're younger, but certainly as you get older, anytime somebody has a situation, a malady of some kind, your ears perk up because you're like, oh, what was the signs? How did you know? Did you get a message? Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what happens after?
Without a doubt. Because, you know, deep down, nobody thinks it can happen to them.
Yeah.
And at that moment, it's happening. I'm sure. Like most, you're talking yourself out of it. You're denying. And a lot of it has like, oh, man, I don't feel like going to emergency right now.
No, absolutely.
I mean, really.
Really? I mean, I've taken myself a year ago this fall here in Toronto is when I, you know, thought I was having some heart issues. Turned out I was. But at the time, you know, I remember, and Rachel teases me because I texted her. It was a Saturday afternoon, evening, and I was feeling really not well. And I was having some of those heart, you know, sort of runs or tachycardia attack.
Right, right. But
rather than call her on the phone, I just text her and said, hey, what are you doing? She texted me back. She's like, nothing. I go, could you drive me to the hospital?
Really?
And ever since then, she's like, hey, if you ever need, like, some medical attention, could you just phone me? Because she was, of course, didn't know what that was about. She thought I was kidding.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've spoken about a friend of yours, and I think a lot of people can relate to the idea of, like, I just don't feel well, I'm going to go up for a nap versus going to see somebody.
Exactly. And, you know, that story plays out time and time and time again. Avoidance, not wanting to, you know, come to grips with it. So, yeah, you got to be on top of it. So it is good to listen to people that have been through it and hear what the symptoms are and make a mental note. You can't screw around with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, I'm a little concerned that Peter hasn't logged on yet. Did he have another one? I don't know.
Because it's been a few days since we've spoken, I think I talked about a gentleman at my golf course who passed away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, again, as I mentioned when I spoke about it, I didn't really know him that well, but he's a very nice person. Mm-hmm. I think Niblet and I talked about him. The point I'm going to make, though, is that it's, you know, it seems cliche. You go, well, I saw him the other day. He mm-hmm. looked great. Like mm-hmm. somehow you're seeing him
mm-hmm.
should have kept him alive. You know what I mean? It's like,
no, I know exactly what you mean. You know that age old, oh, I'm surprised. You know, you expect a big, fat, bloated guy to fall over and die, not a slim guy that you perceived was in shape.
Yes, or somebody that had been a normal sized person struggling with a disease for a while. You go, oh, yeah, Howard, yeah, mm-hmm. he's been sick for years. You know, that kind of thing. People go,
you know, I remember his heart blew up there in Arizona.
His heart blew up, and then he had the thing where
he left his heart in Arizona.
he had the operation. That didn't work, and then he started feeling all this weird. Yeah. I still feel it, by the way. I've still got all this stuff. If it's not shingles, it's early stages of leprosy. I've got something that's a bit worrisome, but, you know, yeah. Somebody that you perceive as healthy who drops deed, and he did. He had the big Widowmaker.
Right.
Or the whatever. What's the politically correct one of that now? It wouldn't be widow. It would just be, like, massive heart.
I don't know. I can't keep up.
No.
But where are you with the rash now? You mean it's not better?
Mm-mm.
Really?
No. No, if I hadn't gone to the doctor, and he basically said to me a week ago now, he said, you know, oh, well, if it were shingles, it would have erupted, you know, your little outbreak mm-hmm. on your neck last year.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm having these weird sensations that are not shingles. Now, somebody, and I don't want to, you know, preempt all these emails I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that somebody sent me a thing here about a COVID symptom. I'm just trying to remember who it was. But the symptoms are, they call it a fuzzy feeling. It's a, what is the coronavirus fizzing symptoms? And I don't have quite those symptoms. It's like, some COVID patients mm-hmm. have reported tingling all over the body or feeling like their skin was on fire, burning, mm-hmm. or covered in icy hot. Well, I have some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's Jim Carr. Hi, Jim.
Wow.
Hang on. Let me get Jim Carr in here. I think that's Peter Gross, too, logging on a little bit late here.
Well, look at that. It's all happening at the same time. But, yeah, Howard has to get on top of this rash, because if it's not shingles, it's something, and something could be maybe worse than shingles.
Yeah, it could be more nefarious.
We've been broadcasting. Jim Carr's here. Well, now he can have a listen in real time what we're doing.
Howard.
Yeah.
If it's not shingles, it might be something worse than shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be way worse.
Leprosy.
Well, that's what I said. It's early stages of leprosy.
Encephalitis.
Yes. Uh-huh. Encephalitis. But you know what? Let's mm-hmm. leave that for now, because we got Peter Gross. He's got some real life stories. Hey, Pete, turn your camera on if you can.
Well, you're asking me for something beyond my skill level.
Well, you've done it before.
Could you turn? Could you turn your microphone on, because it's really, really low.
Down on the left-hand corner, Pete, there's a little, between mute and stop video, there's a little chevron. Click on it. Type thing. All right?
Well, I wish.
Okay, right. Between mute and stop video, there's a little arrow pointing up. Click on that, and then you click on your camera. But if you can't, I guess. You have a camera, I assume.
I just pressed tap to speak.
All right.
All right. Well, we can kind of hear you. I mean, why not?
Now he's muted himself.
Yeah.
Now he's unmuted himself. Okay, Peter Gross. Are you there? All right.
Okay.
We had him.
Yeah, he was here. And I don't know. I'm just going with it now.
Are you there, Pete? He's on his iPhone. He's done it before.
No, I know he has, but
he's been.
Yeah, he's had a stroke.
Hey, the man had a stroke.
The man he's had a stroke. Give him a break.
Does that affect your memory?
All right, well, we're going to have to move on from the Peter Gross interview because he's now no longer hearing us, and we can't see him. But you know what?
One more time, Pete. Yeah, he's gone.
All right, well, that was cool. I'll just remove him. What if I remove him, Phil? Will he be able to come back in?
Can't come back unless you start a new meeting.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, just leave it there. All of a sudden, he'll bang in.
Sure.
Okay, what do you want to move on to here?
Well, we could go through all the emails where they're telling us we suck. Jim Carr's here. That's always exciting. That makes me feel good. Why don't you listen on Freddie's headphones so you can hear the distortion? Can you hear the distortion when they're speaking? A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Oh, there's Pete. Now he's found his camera. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Could you turn your microphone on?
Pete, can you hear us? Nod your head.
Okay, you know what? Can we be done with this now? Like even,
Peter Gross,
even
can
by
you hear
our
us?
Standards, this
we can
is
hear
weird.
You now. Is everything okay?
Okay, that's good, I guess. Yeah.
You know
thanks,
what we've
Pete.
Just been doing for the last 3 or 4 minutes? It's just been brutal.
Well, I apologize for that. My phone advised me I didn't have Zoom on it, and I had to reinstall it with passwords and all that crap.
Yeah, could you get a little closer to it? Because we really can barely hear you.
I don't know what I can do about the audio. This is really good broadcasting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, no, that's the problem.
It's just awful. Mm-hmm. This is even by our standards, which are pretty low. You know, we have muddled through. All right. So, what do you say? Now we can't see him and or hear him.
Well, we'll have to schedule maybe for another day. Pete, are you gone there again?
No,
this is
muted
too
his
much.
Microphone.
Okay, forget it.
Yeah,
can't do it.
I'm here.
Yeah, we're
going to
reschedule. Oh. Pete, we're going to reschedule for another day when we can get you on a computer and that your audio works and all that stuff. Okay, buddy?
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, we're just going to have to move on because that was, honestly, we've done some bad radio. That was crazy. On the weekend, one of my daughters, actually, they're both looking for places to live because, you know, they've been here for a few months. They both want to get out on their own. Spencer with her boyfriend, Charlie on her own. And I had to do something I've never done before to help Spencer get an apartment. She needed my, not to co-sign so much as my credit score. As somebody that would guarantor. Guarantor. Thank you, Phil. And so I did this thing where they have a promotion for $19.95, but it's free for 30 days at something called Equifax.
Yes.
I had never done that, and I got my credit score. And I will tell you, Mr. Patterson, I was surprised by, not that it was low, but it wasn't as high as I would have thought it would have been.
Yes.
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't want to put you on the spot because I didn't really tell you in advance, but do you know approximately what your credit score is?
Oh, yeah, I had the same problem because I had, here's what you've got to be aware of from what I understand. I had a battle with a communications company where they claimed I owed the money, and I knew I did not. And this goes back several years. So if they put you into collections, right, even though you're innocent, I'm sure that can affect your credit rating. Mine wasn't horrible, but it was the same thing. It wasn't as high as what I thought it should be. Because, again, I don't owe anybody any money. So there's things along the way that can affect it. You know, and this goes back years. Remember when that company gave us free satellite when we worked at the other place?
Right.
And they gave us all the hardware. And then I left the radio station. And I never asked for any of it. They just showed up one day and hooked my house up. I didn't ask for any of it. So then all of a sudden they're telling me I owed them money for the equipment. So I just packed it all up and took it over to the place. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't good enough. And I had that battle that went on for some time, and it was never resolved. I just said, I'm not paying you the money. And I asked the radio station to intervene and everything. Anyway, a long story short, I think that affected the credit rating. And it takes a long time, apparently, to get it back.
Well, I couldn't figure out. I don't know what I expected, but my score is 712, which is in mm-hmm. the good percentile. Mm-hmm. And it's just a bit away from fair. Very good is 725 to 760. Mm-hmm. And excellent is 760 to 900. And what I'm confused about, it says, you know, a percentage of the Canadian population is in the excellent range. And here I am, Humble Howard. I'm Humble Howard. And I'm just in the good range. I feel the same way I did when I found out what my Uber rating wasn't as high as old Howie thought it should be. I was like, why is my Uber rating low? But my credit score, Fred, and I don't know where that comes from, because I pay my credit card every month. I don't have a mm-hmm. I don't owe anybody any money other than a mortgage and a line of credit. Anyway, I was quite.
Had a situation like I had where you were arguing over with someone over a payment?
Me arguing with people? Yeah. No, that does not sound. Jim's like, no, that sounds.
But you know, there's a whole. You got to watch this stuff too. And again, you know, I can't be too accusatory. Mm. But there's a whole business that's been created improve your credit rating. So I'm just wondering if they knock you down a bit, you inquire, and for X amount of dollars, they will help you improve that credit rating.
Right.
I mean, you hear the spots all the time. Yeah, and it gets back to who can you trust nowadays? I don't know. But it might have something to do with that because, again, look at your situation. You never miss a mortgage payment. Man. You never miss a bill payment. Like, you know, sometimes I get my Enbridge gas online, like they send me the email. So the odd month I miss it. So then I pay 2 months in a row. Would that affect my credit rating?
Maybe. Jim,
you know, sometimes you just don't see those emails, right? And it's like, oh, okay, I forgot. And I've asked for hard copies again, and they don't want to do that. They don't want to go backwards, right, with hard copy. But I say, you know, I get the thing. I miss it. I get a million emails a day. So if I miss the Enbridge and then you don't pay it, and then it's like, oh, okay, then they send you a thing and you pay the 2 months. Maybe that affects it.
Well, here's the thing. I think you may have a point about wanting you to help pump up your credit score. Because mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I've done so much better, but I can't believe that, you know, that there are, I'm in the 15 percentile range of 660 to 724, that there are 57, 67, there's 71% of Canadians have a higher credit score than me, doesn't make as much sense as what you said, which is, well, I guess if you want to pump up your credit score, here's how to do it. The second thing is, I did this for Spencer, and then Spencer helped me or tried to help me because it's a free trial. You know, we signed up, we did the free trial. And then Spenny said, here, Daddy, I'll help you cancel it. And we went online onto my account. It's very difficult to cancel it, number one. Mm-hmm. We had to actually call. And I heard her doing the customer service call trying to cancel it. Well, yeah, you can go out that door if you want. And they don't make it easy. In fact, I just checked the status of my account, and it's still, by the way, it's still not canceled. It says it's going to be canceled next month, but I'm going to keep that email. Yeah, okay, I've got it too. So that's part, again, not to use the word scam, but it's how mm-hmm. they do business. They say, great, sign up, we'll give you 30 days free.
Yeah.
But my question to you is this, and anyone else. What would the ongoing point of having this service be? Once I have my credit score, why do I keep month to month having to have this service for $20 a month?
I have no idea.
Do you know, Phil?
I believe they are trying to sell you the monitoring part of things. Like, they'll give you more data. They'll give you, like, more new stats every month. Like, I use a service that's free every month. Like, I get a similar service as you, Howard, and I get it free.
What's your credit score?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Well, as someone who owns nothing, I'm going to pre-qualify this number. Yeah. As someone who owns nothing and has money in a bank account, yeah. 829.
See, there you go. Mine's...
I've got excellent credit. Yeah. So
literally is living under the...
yeah, in a basement.
Of his parents' basement, has higher credit score than me.
It's not quite my Uber score.
Man.
That, you know what bugs me about
that
it?
Jimmy, I mean, up.
We talk about social media and the privacy aspect. How do they know? So if mine's being affected because I missed an Enbridge payment and then paid 2 months after, how do they know that?
Because they report to the credit bureaus every month. So every time something happens, like when if you don't pay enough, and let's say the Enbridge folks offer you credit, it means that they're required to report to Equifax or one of the other agencies like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My score is better than only 26% of Canadian consumers.
Mm-hmm. And why were you getting the credit score again?
Because Spencer, for when she was applying for an apartment, she needed...
Right.
A copy of my tax return or a credit score from me. And I'm like, I'm not giving my tax return to Buddy who's renting out crap holes in the annex.
You know? Why? Because you were sort of co-signing?
Well, I was I was basically saying that she's got, you know, she's got somebody behind her whose credit score is only better than homeless Jimmy.
How old is she?
Lives under the gardener.
How old is she?
22.
I've never ever had to do that for one of my kids.
Well, no.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if I had any credit questions, I'd just go to the bank where I deal and say, can you look after this, please? Just give them my history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with this.
And it's funny, Fred, you talk about personal information. When you go into this personal information part, credit information, credit history, and bank, it's all there. Because they have public, what they can do is they can access your
credit file.
Your credit file, which you owe. Collection accounts. Do I have anything on a collection? No. Anyways, credit inquiries to the file. I think what's happened to me, Fred, now that I think of it, is there was some lagging behind in one particular account from Phoenix when I was in the hospital. The insurer, which was amazing, by the way, Desjardins Insurance is the insurer that the Chamber Plan uses because you need an American company. And what happened was the emergency room doctor billed me separately or billed the insurance company separately. And I've been getting months and months and months of when are you going to pay this bill? And I always keep sending it to Desjardins, but because of the pandemic, there was a bit of a backup. So I think that's affected it because I was looking there. I've been delinquent or seemingly delinquent in paying that bill because one of the inquiries was from California. So there may have been some shenanigans because of that. But you know what? I'm proud of me and my 26% of Canadians that are celebrating having a 712 credit score.
But your life was saved, though. Like, at least you still have a credit score.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Well, there you go, man. Now you know. Okay, well, here's what we're going to have to do. We got another minute. We'll take a break. We'll get Jimmy in here to have a look at what's going on with all the stuff. But then we'll continue on. So for you people that we got, I think what we should do, Fred, is when we come back, we'll do a couple of sponsors that support us. Then we'll do a few of those emails.
Yes.
And maybe just because I think what we should do is skim them so everyone gets their name mentioned. And then we will land on the guy that really thinks we suck. And then we'll go into how the president of the United States has only paid $750 in tax a couple years on transactions of billions of dollars. My biggest takeaway, and I'll tell you before we go to break, was yes, the rules are there and such, but that's why they say, you know, if people who make hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe they should pay a little bit more. I'm not socialist, but I think I'm socialist enough to think maybe they should pay a little bit more. It might help everybody else.
Well, one of my main takeaways is what a horrible businessman he is.
Oh, yeah, he's terrible. He is terrible.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. That's it's pretty significant because he's Mr. Screw-Up, actually.
Oh, yeah.
If it's all true, and he can prove it tomorrow by releasing those tax forms. If this is fake news again, just release them tomorrow.
Well, what's not fake news is, you know, bankrupted casinos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trump University, Trump Steaks, Trump Airlines. Mm-hmm. I'm just naming that off the top of my head. We'll take a quick break. Thanks for your patience this morning, everyone. The sun is shining in Southern Ontario on the Humble and Fred Show.
You'll go where your heart wants to go. That's how I got to me.
Sounded weird.
Great expectations. Everybody,
you can hear that now. It's like it's not even coming out of the thing. It's Humble and Fred Radio. We're just we're having an engineer, a giant mind of radio, monitor the program now, and I've never felt safer. Podcast listeners know about the gray Jim Carr, so you know, this is what's happening right now. I feel like I'm having it's really a very comforting experience. We're going to get to all things Trump as well. Lots of emails and people with lots of nice things to say about us. But also some people think it sucked. But first, Freddie, let's talk about the retirement Sherpa.
Oh, Tim Niblett, who will be by on Wednesday to update us on the markets and the, you know, the economic environment we find ourselves in right now, up and down like a toilet seat. Tim is a portfolio manager and Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Again, Tim will be by on Wednesday. Tune in, listen closely. If you're in a situation where you would like someone to have a second look at your portfolio, or you'd like to build something from scratch, because he's the guy. Tim, he's a great man. He's a very calm guy. He's very analytical. He's the type of guy that, you know, your hard-earned money, if you're going to put somebody else in control of it, he is the guy. RetirementSherpa.ca is how to find Tim. And again, you know, several Humble and Fred listeners have put their confidence in him, and it's paid off in spades. It really has. No kidding.
Yeah.
RetirementSherpa.ca.
Yeah. By the way, your friend Al Faulkner?
Yes.
He said, please pass on the Attached song to Howard. I've heard him play it a couple of times, and he's passed on the chords for me, which I thought was very nice of him.
And, that's a kid I've known since we were 7 years old.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mentioned here on the program, very nice person. Mm-hmm. All right, so here we go, Phil. Hey, Phil, do your thing.
Hello, people.
Hello, people. There's so many things. I won't get into all of the articles and links that people sent us, but Ernie Pine says, hi, guys, as if you need more material about Agent Orange, I like this article, and I thought I would pass it on. Mm-hmm. It's a article from the British press talking about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else sent us an article. The next one down there, Fred. Who's that?
An article? I'm looking at the ones.
Okay, so the first email I read was Ernie Pine. The next
one, I get it.
Yeah.
Next one I see is Christopher Humphrey, but he was talking about the bacon.
The next one I've sent to you is one from Rob Burns. Is that not there? Love the Trump talk.
No. I've got Manfred Bear. Hi, guys. This woman would fit right in with our neighbors below us. Just an idiot enjoyed. Now, I saw that video, and it's a Canadian woman freaking out about wearing a mask in a department store. I mean, we could play the audio from that. It's something else.
Now, it's funny because I'd seen that a couple of times, the one that Manfred said.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the email I sent you. It's just, another... another thing. We'll get to the bacon ones. Yeah, I think most people have seen that Canadian woman freaking out. She's very rude. Mm-hmm. Why are people so rude? Mm-hmm.
I see what you have now. It's from Ernie Pinn. It's just...
Yeah, I already read that one.
Okay, I see. This one in
one
between
below here is from Rob Burns.
Right.
He says, hey guys, love the Trump talk. Here's an interesting article from the former Republican of Pennsylvania governor and Homeland Security chief.
That's right.
And basically, the guy's name is Tom Ridge. You may have heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
And a very interesting article. He says, I think it encapsulates the feelings sane humans have toward number five. He says, love the show. Miss it on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
The best ofs are great from Phil, but not the same.
No, that government governor, that's a great thing because it's just another Democrat who is no longer afraid of the president or needs to be afraid of the president speaking the truth about.
You said Democrat, but you meant Republican.
Republican. I'm sorry. Another Republican who, isn't afraid to speak the truth or speak out, whether he's done with politics or he's done with the party under Trump. And that is the truth. When you see those things, that is the truth.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in that for that guy other than putting his country first.
No, very good point. And there's been, I think now it's up to 500 former military, national security.
Yeah.
Just high-level government people.
Mm-hmm.
Are they all lying? Is Trump the only one telling the truth? Are those people just a big conspiracy?
Yep.
I can't remember her name now because it was a couple hours ago, and I feel bad, but she sent this beautiful picture. It's it's on the, one of those things that they write in schools, the signs. Please wear a mask. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're asking you to wear a Habs jersey.
Yes.
I love that one.
I think that was from Stephanie Ditta.
I think you're right.
Who is the sister of one of my daughter's best friends.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish I'd remembered that because I thought it was very clever, and I tried to cut and paste that a million different ways.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to Trump in a second. Lots of people had a lot to say about bacon. Why don't you start with Christopher Humphrey's suggestion?
Okay. Hi, guys. Fred, heard your displeasure for homemade bacon three times now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're leaning on that, are we?
Put the oven at 350, layer baking sheet with foil, use extra so the sides are a couple inches longer than the baking sheet. Costco reduces... get the Costco reduced sodium bacon. Place bacon on a sheet with no overlap. Important, 20 to 25 minutes. I like to flip it at the 15-minute mark, but you don't have to. Best bacon ever.
Yeah.
No mess, because you can fold up the foil and just throw it away.
Yeah, I like it.
He said you cannot use cheap foil, though. Okay, you got to use the good stuff.
Very nice.
Love the show in capitals.
In caps, all caps.
Mm-hmm. He must be intelligent.
Alan Matheson. Guys, on Wednesday's show, Freddie was complaining about bacon. Try baking it in the oven. Parchment paper down on a cookie sheet. Lay the bacon there. Cook it for 350. After 5 minutes, flip and cook another 5 minutes. Because it's baking rather than fry, you don't get the splashy grease all over the place. When finished, let the cookie sheet cool and scrape everything into the garbage, including the parchment paper. No muss, no fuss. Alan Matheson.
Thank you, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alan.
You want the good
Alan.
Parchment paper.
Yeah.
It sounds great. I really thank you for the advice, but even that to me is way too much. I can't be bothered.
It's a lot of work.
I'd rather just barbecue a sausage or fry up some ham.
Yeah, I think I tried to make bacon once in my cast iron pan, and it was it was awful. It was an awful experience.
It's terrible. I'm
getting over it.
It's messy, and you could be injured.
Yes. Here's the headline from Milan Uzelac. Oh.
Okay.
The first one, he says, Humble, did you send me a response yet to this?
No, I'll just read it to you. It's not long.
He says, Humble and Fred are not funny at all. Get off comedy radio. I can laugh at anything Funny 820 plays, whether I do or don't like the topic. From politics to jokes about homosexuals, but he uses the F word that rhymes with bag. We don't, because we're not like that. He says, HNF are paid placeholders for communist airwaves with no insight, no momentum, no content, and plain stink. .. Which seems a familiar way to sign off for somebody who put you guys effing suck in the subject line. Seems a bit familiar to me, Fred. What do you say?
No, I agree. And I responded to him. I just said, hi, Milan. Judging by your email, we're not surprised you don't find us funny. You're not smart enough to find us funny.
Attaboy.
Go and find a Trump rally. You'd fit right in. And, you know, the use of the F word and, you know, the communist thing. You just know what this guy is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another one of those simpletons who loves his Donnie Trump for underlying reasons. And, yeah. You know, at what point do these guys just like give their head a shake and just see what's in front of them?
So just for context, that was Friday. We did not hear Friday. So he heard our show Thursday, and maybe he heard our show Friday morning, best of, right, Phil? But Friday morning at 9:19, he sent us that note. Almost 12 hours later at 8:59 p.m., he was thinking about us, Fred. So he thought the entire day. Maybe this was after your response. But nevertheless, he follows up with this email. Subject line, stink, in brackets, not funny. And then all it is three sentences. No insight, period. No momentum, period. No content, period, period, period. No, that's what we're up against, my friend. That's the fight we're fighting.
Of course, he's entitled to his opinion. But again, it's like, you know where this comes from. You know, the communist thing. And he knows he's referring, obviously, I'm sure, to our Trump talk. And it's like, you know, it's like just weird nowadays that there are still people going to whatever length they need to defend this guy. It's like, why?
Yeah.
And well, now with the... And now with this tax story, and again, but again, you know, I'm just, I don't even know why I'm saying this, because if you've bought in, you'll even be denying the tax stuff today. So,
yeah, because, and because there's been such an overwhelming, you know, when people talk, when Trump supporters talk about, yeah, but what about the other guys? And then somebody, I love the people that will do this, all the different people that have been in Trump's universe that are now felons, convicted felons, whether it's Michael Cohen or that Roger, what's his dick, and a bunch of other people. But as you know, I think I told you I was reading that Bob Woodward book.
Yeah.
So I finally finished it, and I just have my phone open on my Kindle app here to the very last paragraph of Bob Woodward's book. And he says, for nearly 50 years, I've written about nine presidents, from Nixon to Trump. For you people who don't know, that Watergate, all the presidents, man, that was Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein working for the Washington Post. So this guy's been around a long time. He says, I've written about all these presidents. 20%, he said, of the 45 U.S. presidents. And then he goes on to say, a president must be willing to share the worst with the people, the bad news with the good, et cetera, et cetera. And then he says, Trump has instead enshrined personal impulses as a governing principle. And with his performance as president, is taken in its entirety, I can only reach one conclusion. This is the last line of this guy's book. Trump is the wrong man for the job. You know, and I know it seemed funny, but to me, I was like, this guy has been writing about and talking to and interviewing, and he talked to everybody from Mattis to Dick Tillerson to Coates to Jared Kushner. He spent 17, 18 different interviews with this guy. And that's his conclusion. I want you to read it because there's some Trump passages in there verbatim that are scary as F, as the kids like to say.
You know, and the whole yeah, but factor, like people would read that, his supporters, and go, yeah, but what about, you know, Nixon? Or, yeah, but what about Clinton? The problem is, people, he's not the those guys aren't the president right now. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with what's on the table, right? You have to deal with the now. I mean, those other guys I just mentioned, they have their legacies, but they're gone. Forget it. You got to deal with the now. And the now is scarier now than it's ever been.
Yeah. I agree that we're living in the present. And, you know, you can, yeah, but what about Joe Biden? And what about his son getting money? And would you look at one of Trump's sons was charged with screwing a charity and is now not allowed to have a charity in New York State. But they don't seem to want to do that research.
And I don't know a lot about Hunter Biden. It might be horrible and everything. But listen, it's like anything else. You got to balance the situation. It's, do you want this guy, Joe Biden, with his sketchy son to be president? Or do you want this career con man, cheater, liar with weirdo sons to be president? Yeah. Sorry, but that's your only choice. So you make the choice. So it gets back to that yeah, but thing.
You know, the great businessman who had $917 million in losses one year, and because of the tax laws in the states, was able to use that for 10 to 15 years to make himself tax-free against profits. I mean, it's really just a story of failing, successfully failing to the top.
Right. And, you know, I was reading yesterday, tax avoidance, which this isn't necessarily a crime that tax evasion is. But the bottom line here, he hasn't wanted them revealed because it shows what a disastrous businessman he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the assets that he claims he has, and he hasn't had the successes or victories that he claims he has.
Yeah.
And one thing about the New York Times, they even, I think, make a point of saying what they have seen, there is no ties to Russia. But again, I'm convinced myself, Fred Patterson, that someday that will be revealed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I do, before we get to more tax stuff, I have been highlighting different parts of the book because I was like, oh, I got to tell Freddie this. So there's a section in the book where he asks Trump about a speech he gave. And Trump's trying to explain to Bob Woodward, who, but the best part for me, several times in the book, you get the feeling that Trump thinks he's smarter than Bob Woodward. But it's like Bob Woodward is like talking to a hand puppet. Seriously. It's like he's talking to a children's hand puppet. That's how dumb Trump comes off. So he asks him about a speech. And he said, did somebody help you? Here's Trump's response. Yeah. I get people. They come up with ideas, but the ideas are mine. That's literally what he said. They come up with ideas, but the ideas are mine. But it gets scarier. The ideas are mine. Want to know something, Bob? He says, everything's mine. You know, everything is mine. And that's who he is.
These people, too, that resist the fact that they will refuse to admit that Trump is a racist. That's fine. They refuse to admit that, you know, he's had racist dog whistles, which is mind-boggling.
Good people on both sides. You know, one of the sides being the Ku Klux Klan. They were saying good people.
They refuse to acknowledge any racism on any level.
Yeah.
But those same people will look at Biden saying, you know, that stupid thing he says, and hey, you can admit it. And again, I'm not a big Biden fan. I'm a Canadian. I'm just looking at this from, you know, sort of a third party perspective. When Biden said that thing, if you're black and you don't vote for me, you're not black, whatever that was. Yeah. It was a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
But then the very people that defend Trump on every level for racism will look at that and go, no, that was a racist comment. They can acknowledge and see that, but they just refuse to give an inch on Trump. It's amazing.
Yeah,
that's why it doesn't matter what he says, what he does, the taxes or anything. These people are never going to leave his side. It's all the people in the middle, which I find very encouraging. Because if you're a guy that's paid his taxes and you're in the middle and you're not sure, Trump, Biden, I don't know where I'm going to go. And now that you find out that you paid a big percentage of your paycheck in taxes and this guy paid virtually none, that can be a game changer.
Well, it's going to be no one who supports him is going to be swayed by anything short of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him having, I don't even know what it is. I mean, the Epstein stuff, there's so much stuff. And again, I reference the book because the book really does walk through the pandemic. But, you know, now we're going to have this, you know, confirmation. And again, the hypocrisy of that, how the Republicans, you know, at one point didn't want a Democratic president to have a Supreme Court justice nomination. But there's going to be, and what's going to come out, and I think the Democrat strategy is going to be a solid one, which is, okay, this judge will be confirmed, but in the process of confirming her, they're going to be able to get on the record a lot of the Trump legacy, a lot of the Trump stuff, and Kamala Harris is going to, it's going to be very interesting to watch.
See, I can't get really revved up about the judge stuff because they're not doing anything they don't have the right to do.
But here's what they're doing. They're putting a judge in place so that if the election goes to the Supreme Court,
right,
it will rule in favor of the Republicans.
Okay. Okay.
It's dangerous.
Well, it was at 5-4, and that's not changing. It'll be 6-3.
Well, it's dangerous for other things, too. Roe v. Wade, the fact that she's a very, very religious person.
Well, that's another, that's a strategy of, it's weird because I believe Joe Biden's Catholic, is he not?
Yeah.
Right?
He would be the second Catholic president.
So now the spin they're putting on it, what they're trying to do now is if the Democrats during these hearings bring up abortion, the Republicans and Trump are going to use that as anti-Catholic rhetoric.
Yeah, of course.
So the thing is, if you say to her, because of your Catholic faith, are you going to be pre-positioned to do away with abortion? They're going to turn around and say, oh, you're attacking her for her religion.
Hey, Philly, can you do me a favor while I look around here and try and figure out when we're going to end? You tell people why they should go to chamberplan.ca. Let's be serious. Can you do that right now?
Yep, it's true. You know, the Chamber's plan happens to be our plan of choice.
And yeah, lean right into that microphone, buddy. Get in right in there.
Sure. It's Canada's number one group benefits plan for businesses. The Chamber's plan is Canada's leading group benefit for 1 to 50 employees. If you're looking for benefits when it comes to prescriptions or travel or opticians or dentists, like I went to a dentist and only paid a certain amount because of the Chamber's plan coverage that we have at Humble and Fred. And so if you want to check out the Chamber's plan, a non-profit plan, by the way, stability beyond wonder, as well as premium that are stable. Chamberplan.ca, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan.
Very nice. Just quickly to wrap things up, NHL Game 6 tonight. It's, who is it? It's Tampa Bay and
Dallas Stars.
And NBA is where we at. I know Celtics are still in it, I think. No, they're out now?
No.
They lost last night? Okay.
it's Miami and the Lakers.
That's the NBA final?
It looks like it, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't checked those scores from last night.
Jamie is saying Blue Jays are in the postseason. Yeah.
Bit of a dilemma. I don't know what time the Jays. I'm not sure they've given the start time of the Jays game tomorrow, but
5.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to be huddled around the debate TV. What time is that on with Chris Wallace?
9.
9.
By the way, Wallace does not, and you can understand it. There will be no fact checking during
the debate tomorrow night. That's up. That's for the post-game show.
Okay. Just, we got to say goodbye, everyone. Here's Fizzy to say goodbye and a little podcast extra. We'll try and make up for how we screwed up at the beginning. Phil?
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, 5-Hour Energy, and GarbageDay.com/Humble and Fred. We broadcast to the planet from the remote headquarters of The Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at HumbleandFredRadio.com.
Well, okay. Let me see. Let me turn that off. But that sounds terrible. Okay. Well, we're gonna. Where are we going here? I'm gonna wrap things up. Jim Carr is standing by to see what we can do to fix this. Yeah, that debate. How long is the debate gonna be on? Like an hour and a half?
Yeah, I think it's 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to, I don't know. I mean, now Trump is, you know, you just see tweeted out about Joe Biden needs a drug test. Fuck off. You know, it's like, you know, meanwhile, he's got shit flying out of his nose. He's barely coherent. You know, whenever they talk about it, Biden's incoherency, there's, there's so many times where Trump is like almost as though he's having a stroke. Like, how do they not, how do they defend that?
Anyway. I know. Anyway. Listen, a guy we know, there was a story over the weekend. You know what? Maybe it is bad where Biden intimated that he had been to some university, got a start at some university, and it turns out he didn't get a start there, but he had just lectured there, whatever it was.
Whatever, yeah.
And that's front and center posting, like Joe Biden's a liar. Nowhere can you find anything about the taxes, the story about the taxes, which is probably so far the biggest bombshell yet. I'm sorry, the New York Times does not make this stuff up. They have those documents. Don't kid yourself. They have them somewhere. And apparently over the next few days, they're going to release more. You know, and they say the New York Times is attacking Donald Trump. Well, all Donald Trump has done since his first day of his presidency is attack the New York Times for their integrity.
New York Times is what he calls it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all's fair, right?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I really wish it's hard. I picked out, excuse me, so many passages of that book that I was like, wow. You know, one of the things I will say, and I had this conversation with Rachel, the world of Donald Trump, it's what his superpower is, and you can hear it in the way he talked to Woodward. His superpower is, he's not making it up. He actually believes all of this. It's almost because of whatever mental instability he has, whatever that psychotic narcissism, whatever, he believes that nothing he does is wrong, which is I guess why he's been able to be such a seemingly a scammer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he never thinks he's in the wrong. That the reason those hotels went bankrupt is somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else because Trump is infallible. And, I mean, it's going to get us all killed, but it's that you can almost at least see that there's an explanation for all of this craziness is that he believes it. He's not just going, oh, I wonder. It's not like he's saying, oh, this will be good. It's like he just blurts it out because it's what he thinks. It's quite interesting, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right.
I'm going to get Jimmy busy here. And I'm going to need you guys to stick around. So, podcast extra. I guess we should do our podcast extra music where it's at. Phil, I hope you'll be okay, because I know this scared you this morning when things go wrong.
I paid several times more tax than Donald Trump.
Yeah, we all paid more taxes than Donald Trump. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, guys, we'll check in with you. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.